From jet engines to space rockets, telephones to computers, the world has seen spectacular change in the last 100 years, and the pace of progress is getting faster and faster. From electric cars to the metaverse, drone deliveries to climate solutions and genetic sequencing, we're investing in the companies that are not just changing the world today, but are also shaping the future. The Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Invest in progress. Capital at risk.
Tom, thanks so much for coming in. Can you just get me started by telling me about what you do at Transact and a bit about your background, how you got to here at this position?
Yeah, sure, Jack. So my role is Chief Development Officer at Transact. I'm responsible for most of the advisor-facing areas within the business. So that's sales, marketing, change and client service. I guess in terms of my background, I was a strategy consultant for most of my career. I advised a lot of UK platforms, fund managers, life insurers, and then maybe 8 years ago, decided to move in-house and rather than give advice, take responsibility for execution, and I joined Royal London and then for the last 4 years, Transact.
Platform transfers, this is an area that I believe is close to your heart. It's something we've been reporting about quite a bit in the last few months. Can you tell us a bit about why platform transfers are important to Transact and something you care about?
Yeah, sure. So Transact, our strategy is to make financial planning easier. And a big part of making planning easier is running a smooth transfers process. It's the moment of truth, I guess, where an advisor recommends a change in provider. So it's really important if an advisor is moving a client to Transact that we deliver a great service experience for the advisor, but also for the client. It's also a process that's complicated and is prone to delay. So it's really important we communicate to advisors during the process so that they can communicate to their clients.
Mm. Are you getting more transfers in than going out? I mean, how's the kind of numbers stack up?
Yeah, sure. So we do get more transfers in than out. And over the past year, that ratio has improved, which is great. But, you know, transfers out are equally important and we need to act with integrity and deliver great service for transfers out as well.
Mm. And if we look at the transfer market, I think you know, my colleagues did a campaign about re-registration back in 2008. I'm one of the former NMA editors, you know, complaining about issues back then that advisors were experiencing. And you know, from what we've been reporting about the last few months, these issues still seem to be, you know, ongoing. Doesn't seem like much has changed in those, you know, what, 16 years since the campaign was launched. Why are transfers still an arduous process?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jack. I mean, I think there probably are three main issues with the transfer process. The first is a lack of electronic messaging between providers. The second is a lack of electronic messaging for offshore domicile funds. And the third is rejections where the entity names or account numbers don't match. And so the transfer, even if it's electronic, it could fail.
Rejections,
yeah.
And from your experience, kind of, what's the main cause? Is it rejections, or is it the domicile funds, or is it the...
So when we look at transfers, there are different types, obviously. For electronic cash transfers, they'll complete within a week. For electronic in specie transfers, where it's only UK domiciled assets, they'll complete very quickly, close to a week as well. The biggest issue comes with offshore domicile funds. So where you have an in-specie transfer, if the providers aren't electronic and then you've got some offshore assets, you're looking at a lot of manual processes, a lot of work for the seeding provider to do, completing stock transfer forms, getting those signed, sending them to Dublin or Luxembourg. If those forms have errors in, then you know they need to go back and forward between those two firms, and you can get transfers taking many, many weeks, often months as well.
Yeah, that's not a good outcome for clients or advisors, is it really? And I think so, electronic messaging, that's a big part of all this. This is basically how platforms communicate with each other to automate the process, is that right?
Yeah, sure. So we use a range of different messaging providers. We use Origo for cash pensions, we use Altus or Equisoft for in-specie pensions, and then we use Calastone for GIAs and ISAs. So we use, you know, the best of breed providers for that, but there are gaps. On the provider side, some legacy life companies, stockbrokers, banks don't have electronic messaging for cash transfers. And then, as you noted in one of the CityWire articles, some of the platforms don't have electronic messaging for in-specie transfers as well. And all of these breaks in the chain where there isn't, you know, it's not automated, result in paperwork and more risk of error and therefore delays.
And so advisors, transfers taking longer, basically.
Yeah, and it's really tough for the advisor, and what we try and do to work with advisors is for them to understand how long the transfer might take in advance so that they can manage the expectation of the clients. So with an in-specie transfer, if, you know, all the assets except for one are UK domiciled and they complete within a few days, and then you've got one asset that takes a lot longer, you know, it's easy for the customer to think that there's an error or something's gone wrong if their expectations haven't been managed sufficiently.
So it seems like you go at the pace of the slowest person in the chain. And obviously, it doesn't sound like things are working as they should be. What's the FCA doing about this, if anything?
So the FCA has a really keen focus on transfers. We report our transfers in and our transfers out on a regular basis to the FCA. More recently, they've asked for more qualitative information for the reasons why transfers take time. And obviously, they're looking for outliers in those results. When they write their Dear CEO letters to platforms around...
There was one recently or like a few months ago?
It was a while ago now, but, you know, they mentioned transfers in that letter. They mentioned that times are important. They mentioned that the STAR industry initiative to develop step-by-step MI on different stages in the transfer process was important. So, yeah, it's a big focus for the regulator.
But if you, I guess, if you could have the power to go in and mandate something or make one change tomorrow, is there anything, one thing you'd do that could help improve the process?
Yeah, I think the more mandatory electronic messaging would make a really big difference. And yeah, that would be my one change.
And you think that the FCA should mandate that on providers then?
I'm not sure how practical. There's lots of considerations for the FCA, but certainly if overnight all the providers were electronic, it would make the process easier.
Yeah. And from Transact's perspective, is there anything you're doing or the company's doing to try and help improve the market and the process generally?
Yeah, sure. So we've done a fair bit and we've got a fair bit planned as well, Jack. We've had a transfers transformation project running for about 18 months now. We have probably the biggest and most popular change we've made with advisors is to introduce a transfer specialist within our regional operational teams. And that transfer specialist can process the most complex types of transfer cases, like the rejections. They also have monitor end-to-end MI so that they can spot any transfers that are being delayed, either in or out. And they can also be the champion to help train the rest of the team and make sure everyone is experts at on transfers. And when we did our recent advisor survey, the specialist was called out as something that made a really big difference to advisors. The other areas around the visibility for advisors of the process. So we launched probably 18 months ago now a transfer tracker online where they could see the status of transfers. We've been improving that on a regular basis. And we've also reviewed how we chase transfers. So we chase seeding providers. Historically, we did that at a fixed time, irrespective of the type of transfer. And we've now moved to a chasing approach that obviously chases more quickly for electronic cash transfers than for some of the in-specie manual transfers. So we're trying to align our chasing to get the most value out of what we do and support advisors in the best way. The final point to make, if I've got a couple more minutes, Jack, is that we've recently launched this month a new electronic messaging service for cash ISAs. So we've integrated with a banking system called PayUK so that the bank and building society cash ISAs can be transferred electronically to Transact. I think we're the first advisor platform to do that. We probably have a few thousand cases each year, which will now go electronically and complete a lot more quickly. And that will take away the need for building societies to send us checks, for example. So, yeah, we continue to look to ways to improve the process.
Checks are still happening in this in this day and age.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And Tom, when you speak to advisors, you know, obviously something you do a lot, what are the kind of things they tell you about transfers? What are the kind of key messages that come up when you get on the road?
Yeah, sure. So advisors talk a lot about managing client expectations, a lot about frustration when they receive rejections, a lot around communication and wanting really, really regular and granular updates on the status of a case. So those are a lot of the areas that cause frustration. And I think more and more what we're trying to do is encourage advisors to engage us early in the process. We've seen a lot of interest in bulk transfers into Transact recently. And so we
migrate multiple customers at the same time.
Yeah, sure. And so what we want to do is understand the list of assets if it's an in-specie transfer in advance, identify some of the problematic assets so we can manage the expectations with advisors and clients.
Yeah. Do you get the feeling that sometimes you speak to an advisor and that they'll be reluctant to move platforms because they know the transfer process is going to be so difficult? Because obviously it does seem like there are a lot of bad stories out there, and you know the music around transfers isn't great.
Yeah, I do think it makes a difference. I think if the transfer process was quicker and more seamless, advisors would have more confidence in switching provider. I think often it's typically not the biggest problem with platforms, but for some of the assets off platform,
in like life companies, or
yeah, some of the legacy assets. You know, particularly if they're small value, I think can be hard for the advisor to kind of justify the amount of time and effort they're going to put into that transfer. And one of the things we try and tell our staff at Transact is, you know, the transfer feels like the start of the process for us, but it's not the start of the process for the advisor. And they've often been through quite a challenging letter of authority process before they even get to the transfer point. So we try and understand that the timeline and the amount of work the advisor does can be really quite significant.
So for these small client pots who maybe got some legacy assets somewhere, it's actually kind of maybe the fat transfers are being difficult. It's kind of almost it's almost making the advice gap bigger because it makes it harder for advisors to take on these clients.
Possibly, I think obviously there's a difference between providing advice to the client and moving over all of the small pots that a customer may have. But clearly it would make sense if the advisor could advise over as many of the assets as possible.
Oh, definitely. And just finally, Tom, if for the advisors out there who use Transact, are there any kind of other developments, any tech developments, anything they should be looking out for in the next few weeks and months you guys have got on the program?
So our strategy for the last period has been focusing on three things: personal service, digitalization and consent innovations, and integrations. And for each of those initiatives, we have a pipeline of change. As you probably know, we release functionality changes every month. And, you know, each month advisors will see new changes like the electronic cash ISAs or some digitalization of a form that used to be paper, now moved online. A change in how they facilitate client consent for processes that allows advisors to do processes in bulk. So these improvements are happening all the time with Transact.
Great stuff. Tom, well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Jack.
From jet engines to space rockets, telephones to computers, the world has seen spectacular change in the last 100 years, and the pace of progress is getting faster and faster. From electric cars to the metaverse, drone deliveries to climate solutions and genetic sequencing, we're investing in the companies that are not just changing the world today, but are also shaping the future. The Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Invest in progress. Capital at risk.